under pressure, not fixing it under pressure. And like I said, 13 years. And you know how God did that? He would put me in a situation I could not change. Everything I'd ever been able to do before to make it work didn't work. And then day after day after day after day after day, nothing changed. And until I understood that that's the way that perseverance, when I yield to that, and I understand that's what it is, and I'm willing to trust him, rest my heart, ask him for help, then I get that muscle group. Many, many years for me. In exercise and perseverance, develop godliness. Ding! A little bell went off when I read that because rewind. We get sound effects tonight too. Rewind back up to verse 3. And remember that everything we need for life and godliness comes through epinosis, through knowing him personally, intimately, day by day by day. You want to know how to be a more godly person? Have your relationship with him just constant and growing, and he just rubs off on us. Like I said, these are all things that are fruit of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is truly running things in my life, like Corrie Ten Boom says, you know, not my spare tire, but my steering wheel, you know. This is what he produces. In exercising perseverance, I'm glad it's in this order. In exercising perseverance, develop godliness. In exercising godliness, develop brotherly kindness. Philadelphia. It simply means loving people simply because you're related to them in Christ. It's one of the reasons I didn't want to be a pastor, to be honest with you. Because when I could pick where I went to teach and where I went to do music and who I wanted to hang around with, I could surround myself with people that agreed with me and people that liked me and I liked them. And, oh, isn't this wonderful Christian fellowship? But when all of a sudden you're nailed down and you have to be married to a whole bunch of people, God has this way of picking people that irritate you. And he has a way of picking people that you irritate them. I wrote in my notes, this is a very needed quality, this brotherly kindness, with Christians that we don't like or Christians that don't like us. I've told you this story before, but it's one of my favorite things that God has done recently in my life. When I'm getting my little irritation meter is about to peg and, you know, over in the red zone, and I'm getting really upset with somebody and I feel like I've got to talk to them and I'm going to straighten them out, you know, the Lord will say, son, sit down. We need to have a talk. And he'll say, you know what? I'm not as irritated with these people as you are. I know what they're doing is wrong. I know it hurts your feelings. I know it bugs you. I'm just not mad at them like you are. And sometimes, here's the fabulous thing that he's doing. He'll just tweak that binocular focus just a tiny bit, or he'll just scoop me over a little, and I'll see something about their life or their past that completely makes me understand why they're that way. And then it's not as irritating. And I think the thrilling thing about that is when he does that for other people with me, I know that he's doing that with other people about me. I know he's a loser. I know you've had way better pastors than him before and blah, 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 blah. You know, but just give him a break. You know, he's had a hard life. He's a little bit slow, if you know what I mean. He'll get it. He'll get it because I'll see to it that he gets it. Because I'm a good father, he says. So brotherly kindness needs to be developed, but it's interesting that you need some other things to have been developed before you're even able. You need to be able to hang in there under pressure. People are not going to learn things as fast as you did all the time. What's wrong with them? They're so discouraged. Well, you were too a couple of times in your life. Maybe they've just got different issues than you do. We just need that brotherly kindness. Okay, they're my brother, they're my sister in Christ. I'm going to love them. And the next one is agape love, which is in exercising brotherly kindness, develop agape. And that's actually the first thing on the list in Fruit of the Holy Spirit. I think it's kind of interesting that this comes at it from backwards in Peter's list. I personally think that all the things that are listed as fruit of the Holy Spirit are just descriptions of agape love. Anyway, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you'll see striking similarity. Beth Moore said in one of her books one time, I'll never forget it, it was about her family adopting an autistic child who'd been horribly abused, probably should have been institutionalized. They had him for a number of years, and it just wreaked havoc in their family. And she said, we shed more tears trying to give that child a good home. And she shared victories of understanding how hard any kind of a victory was for that child. Just made you lower your expectation of response, especially if you have other children. But here's something she said, I'll never forget it. She said, when we love people with just purely agape love, where we just make a choice, I'm going to do the right thing. I don't feel like it right now, or I do feel like it, but I'm going to do the right thing for this person as God tells me. That's Christ-like love. She said, the more you do that, the more you find you start loving them in other ways too. You just can't love somebody with God's unconditional agape love without him to begin with. I don't know anybody that can do it without him. And then when you do, you start seeing him differently. You just start seeing him his way. That was the way I was with Jimmy. We butted heads many, many times in our relationship. And I bet you, you know, you could ask me, do I, you know, when he went to heaven, did I love him? Yes, absolutely I did. I would give my life for him. Did he love me? Absolutely, he did. Did it always look like that? Oh, no. No. Probably not with anybody. We all have our challenges. But see, agape love is the kind of love that it says in God's Word covers a multitude of sins. We need that, don't we? I do. This is supposed to be a safe place, this church. That means people are going to come in varying degrees of completion. That's fine with me. If you want a church where everybody's all done and nobody ever gets depressed and you know, everybody's just a happy camper all the time, go someplace else, because that's not going to happen here. Because I'm praying God will send the other kind of people here. I'm praying he'll send people who are depressed, that he'll send people who don't get it yet, that he'll send people that are starving and didn't even know it was possible to not be starving. Because that's part of what he's put us here for. And church has got to be a safe place. If you're going to do that, it's got to be, we need these things. We need all of these things that Peter said to grow up. I can have my happy little club, just me and Jesus. I did this for many years. I lived on an island. That's about as isolated as you can get. People can't get to you without paying money. You know what I mean? Talk about privacy. I only went where I wanted to go to be around Christians, and only the places I wanted to go. But there was a time where Jesus said, you know, this is a great thing we have going on, Bob, between you and me, but I would like to share that with people. Are you willing to go someplace and live a life that shares your walk with me? And yes, I was, until he told me where. Because I'd been here before, and I met with a lot of hostility, and there were people that hurt me here, and I didn't particularly want to be here. I wanted to hang around a place where it was filled with Christians. So I took all of this very, very seriously, because I've noticed the closer you get to Jesus, the more you just start looking around, and you start asking him, like you said, Holly, you start asking him to make you bold. Like you said, Mary, just give me the boldness of Bob McKinney. Okay, and I'm gonna go. Do I have 5 more minutes? Oh, good. Verse 8 is critical. It starts with the word because. I know that some of your translations say for, but that's what for means. It means because. If you possess these qualities, I just got to read this slow, I'm sorry. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, ever-increasing measure, what does that speak of? That's growth, isn't it? It's like fruit on a tree. I'm glad Jesus used that example, and I'm glad Paul used that example about fruit, because it's a word of process. He said, these are the things that will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your intimacy with Jesus. That's where you start. You start with intimacy with him. But that can be completely unproductive if it doesn't go somewhere else, if it doesn't grow, if it isn't exercised in the real world, right? If I was a Baptist, I would ask for an amen. Because it is the truth. I want to talk about the increasing measure thing. I was so discouraged before I understand the whole thing about fruit being a process, about growth being a process. And some of that's the result of legalism. Legalism says, here's perfection. Good luck. Here's the rules. Don't call us if you need us. You whip yourself into shape. And so every time I looked at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I approached it originally as I'd take the first thing on the list. Okay. And I'll grow that. And that wasn't working, so I thought, okay, I'll skip that. I'll do that one later. And then I would move on to the next one. And I got 3 or 4 things into it, and I was mad. I was spitting mad. A friend of mine had given me, a pastor had given me some books to read. This is a long time ago. I think differently now. Give me a bunch of books to read, and I remember he came over to my house on my birthday in May, and I threw the book at him. I was so mad. I said, this doesn't work. And I described my whole struggle. I am not any better at this than I used to be. Yeah, I didn't quite react exactly the same way as I did before, but man, I am so far from having fruit in my life. And he walked over to my apple tree and he picked off this little thing about that big, about marble size, green, little green thing, and he stuck it in my hand and he said, Bob, what is that? And I said, Dale, that's going to be an apple. He said, no, Bob, that is an apple. And he said, not only is that an apple, that is a perfect apple. And I said, no, that's a Macintosh apple tree. And they're supposed to be about this big, and they've got, green and yellow and red blotches on them, and it's going to be about that big. And he says, yeah, when will it be that big? And I said, well, when it's fully grown. He says, yeah, but right now, that's a perfect apple. Hannah Whitehall Smith said it this way. She said, all of God's works in our lives are perfect at every stage of their development. That's the thing about growth and development. My job is primarily to just not fight him. I can ignore the wrecked car beside the road and just keep driving, trying a different way. I'll try a different. We'll go through the woods this time. I guarantee you, your Heavenly Father is going to bring you right back to that point again. He wants to grow us up. That's for our benefit. That's for the whole world's benefit. I think there's some fabulous secrets in just these few verses. Start at the most important place. Throw your energies into that. Knowing him, walking with him personally, intimately, day by day. And Peter says, okay, and now God's made you some fabulous promises. Stand on them. Memorize them. I write them down. I stick them on the sun visor of my vehicles. Depending on the thing du jour that I need. Draw close to him, and then Peter says, exercise these qualities. And as you're exercising this one, develop this one. As you're exercising that one, develop that one. Because when those are growing constantly, in your life. You're going to be fruitful. Your fellowship with the Lord is going to be productive. Good stuff, huh? How much? Okay, good. Good timing. I was afraid I wouldn't get through. I know I didn't do a real good job in a recap on the first couple of verses, but we did it 2 weeks ago, so you can pick up the CD or order the CD because it's really, really important. Go through that thing of the promises that God's lavished on us. Just add up the list. Some of you already have favorite ones. Some of you have life preserver promises. They're ones that you're hanging on to keep from sinking. Yeah, I have those too. Well, act on them. Put action to your trust in Him. It will be exercised. He will see to it that it is. Okay, I've had enough faith. I've had enough testing of my faith. I'm just not going to go any farther. Well, then try to draw close to the Lord, because He's going to try to gross up, and you know, He'll just keep circling the block until we, and as Bill says, the lessons do get harder. Thank you, Lord, for Your great plan. First of all, you just rescued us from where we were headed. You rescued us from ourselves and our foolishness and trusting in our own judgment. He did it for me the hard way, because that's the only way I would learn. But thank You that You've drawn us to Yourself every day. We have the opportunity of walking in intimacy with You. I pray that that would flourish in our lives, Lord. That would be the number one thing. And You've already put in the bank everything that I could possibly need when I'm coming to You. And I pray, Lord, we take all of these words seriously, and that we grow up, that we'd stop fighting You. I'm not good at it. You know better than anybody. It took 13 years for You to win that fight. But I'm so grateful, Lord, for the good things that You have had for me down the road. So, Lord, keep us close to Your heart. Keep us attentive. Thank You that You are so personal that I have You all to myself all day long. Bless these dear ones, Lord. Keep them safe. Thanks for keeping the power on till the tape was over. We love You. Amen.